Thank you, Jay. It is good to be here with you today, and good to see each one of you here. I want to start today by giving you a testimony of how God blesses us in our lives. And, you know, I don't know if you have this problem, but sometimes when I'm driving on the streets, it just seems like everyone's out to get me. And I can't wait to get home because it just seems like the streets are a hazard. And a few weeks ago, I was almost involved in three separate accidents. And probably many of you have had that maybe, on a drive home, almost being in three accidents. But these three accidents were within the space of about 5 seconds. And it doesn't sound possible, does it? But, you know, life can change quickly. And I'd been to Home Depot over here on Bell and just off of Cave Creek. And, I'd been working on a bathroom project. So, you know, when I'm working on these projects, it seemed like I'm at Home Depot about every day. I'm sure some of you have had that problem. But as I came out on Bell Road and I was heading east, going to Cave Creek. So I got in the left turn lane, getting ready to turn north on Cave Creek. And, you know, at that intersection, there's two turn lanes going both ways. Two off of Bell going south onto Cave Creek and two going north onto Cave Creek. And I was in the right-hand lane of these two. And I was one of the first two cars up there, me and another car. And the light turned green, and I proceeded into that intersection, just like the other three cars did. So there's four cars coming into that intersection. And I noticed something flash in to the right. And I looked, and here came a car going north on Cave Creek, and they were making a left turn onto Bell. And they were flying, and they were able to make it right between all four of those cars that were coming out into the intersection. We all slammed on our brakes, and we were able to miss them. So then I proceeded to make that left turn, and as I got just about all the way through, the car in my left lane, they decided they needed about half of my lane. So they pulled into my lane. So I had to swerve to avoid them. And then immediately, once I had got past them and I focused my attention ahead again, there was two guys in the street. They had run across from the other side. And of course, the left turn laner people started coming then, and they hadn't cleared the intersection yet. So I had to slam on my brakes to avoid them. You know, things can happen in life. We have to always be prepared spiritually because we never know what tomorrow will bring. We will be celebrating Christ's birthday in 2 days. And, you know, there's many things that happen this time of year, things that only happen during this time of year. You know, we see many people are buying Christmas gifts. We see Christmas trees. We see wreaths. We see candy canes. People send out cards. We see Christmas lights on houses, on Christmas trees. We sing Christmas songs, usually just this time of year, which I love the Christmas songs. I really enjoy them. And there are celebrations where people prepare special food for this time of year. And there's more traffic. If you're trying to get anywhere, the roads are very busy. The stores are packed with shoppers. And, you know, this time of year, we see some people that are filled with love and peace and joy, truly celebrating the birth of Christ. But we see others that are stressed and irritable and unhappy. many things happen during this time of year. You know, people a lot of times have high anticipation for things. A lot of them are just temporal things. But things don't go as they plan. And there can be conflicts with families. So it can be a time of a lot of stress when people aren't truly focused on the reason for this celebration, that we are truly celebrating the birth of Christ. And many people who celebrate Christmas, they are not truly worshiping Jesus Christ. They do not celebrate his birth, and they do not honor his name. It is a time for them of worldly celebrations. And you know, there was a time not too long ago when the most common greeting was Merry Christmas. But today, that has been replaced with Happy Holidays. They have taken Christ out of Christmas. But you know, worshiping Christ should be the most important thing in our lives. The most important thing at this time of year when we celebrate his birth. But it should be the most important thing every day in our lives. And I want to start today by looking at some of the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. And these prophecies, they show us how important that this Jesus Christ is to all mankind. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this Emmanuel, as it tells us in Matthew, it means God with us. The birth of Christ being foretold by Isaiah more than 600 years before the birth of Christ. Also, let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What wonderful descriptions these are of Jesus Christ, and how each one of them applies to him so completely that he is that so wonderful. The mighty God, our God. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And we see it talks about this judgment and justice. Only Jesus Christ would be able to have that fair judgment and to have that justice for all mankind. You know, the Jews knew of the prophecies about the birth of Christ. They received these from Isaiah and from others. They were looking for the King of the Jews. Just like everyone else, they were looking. But they were not looking for a baby in a manger. And they were not looking for one that would die on the cross. They were looking for this royal king. And they are still looking today. They have missed the birth of Christ, missed the birth of our Savior. Let's turn over to 1 Nephi chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6. This is on page 24. Yea, even 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem, a prophet would the Lord God raise up among the Jews, yea, even a Messiah, or in other words, a Savior of the world. So we see we had these same prophecies here to the seed of Joseph here in Americas. This prophecy of the coming of our Messiah. And he also spake concerning the prophets, how great a number had testified of these things concerning this Messiah of which he had spoken, or this Redeemer of the world. Wherefore all mankind were in a lost and fallen state, and ever would be, save they should rely on this Redeemer. We see an important thing here of Christ coming to this earth, that he is our Redeemer. And that mankind was in that lost and fallen state ever since that original sin. The importance of this Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to verses 52 through 58. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the great city Jerusalem, and also other cities. And I beheld the city of Nazareth. And in the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceedingly fair and white. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me. And he saith unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I saith unto him, a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. And he said unto me, knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, behold, the virgin which thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, after the manner of the flesh. We see here it tells us that this Jesus Christ will be born of a virgin. Will come down from heaven, come down from the kingdom of heaven, and live here on this earth as a man. Verse 62, and the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. The Lamb of God, the very Son of the Eternal Father. Let's look at Mosiah, chapter 1, verse 102. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. So we see some more description here, very clear and plain. We see prophesied here, some 600 years before the birth of Christ. It tells us what his name will be. That his name will be Jesus Christ. That he is the very Son of God. That his mother will be called Mary. And that he is the Creator of all things. We know it is very plain in the Scriptures that all things, the heavens and the earth, man, were created by this Jesus Christ. All powerful. Nothing that he cannot do. Yet, he was to be born of Mary, to live on this earth. And to suffer like we do. To suffer the pain and trials and tribulations. In 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 35 and 36. For according to the words of the prophets, the Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem. And according to the words of the prophets, and also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And verse, skip down to verse 39. Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. We see another very important aspect of Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us in many places that there is no other name given under heaven save this Jesus Christ, whereby man can be saved. We see how important he is. That he is our only way to salvation. There is no other way. The world will tell you there are many ways, many doors. Many people believe you can go through any of those doors and will end up in the kingdom of heaven. Those are false teachings. Only through Jesus Christ, whose birth we will celebrate this Tuesday. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 16, verses 207 through 216. This is on page 428. Behold, I say unto you, that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world. For the Lord God hath spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made. For according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. According to the plan of God the Father, this must take place. There must be an atonement for the sins of man. Verse 209. Yea, all are hardened, yea, all are fallen, and are lost, and must perish, except it be through the atonement which it is expedient should be made. For it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice, yea, not a sacrifice of man, neither of beast, neither of any manner of fowl, for it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. Now there is not any man that can sacrifice his own blood, which will atone for the sins of another. This sacrifice had to come from a perfect lamb. We know under the Mosaic law that when they had their blood sacrifices, they had that perfect lamb that they sacrificed. This sacrifice for our sins must be a perfect lamb. This Jesus Christ is that perfect lamb. I think sometimes it's hard for us to imagine. It's hard for us to imagine the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're told in the scriptures that these things are so much more wonderful and beautiful than we can even imagine. So we have Jesus Christ dwelling in the kingdom of heaven. But he was willing to come down here on earth, suffer in this life, and die that horrible death on the cross for our sins. How do you describe that kind of love? Verse 2:12. Now, if a man murdereth, behold, will our law, which is just, take the life of his brother? I say unto you, nay. But the law requireth the life of him who hath murdered. Therefore, there is nothing which is short of an infinite atonement, which will suffice for the sins of the world. Therefore, it is expedient that there should be a great and last sacrifice. Jesus Christ made that last sacrifice. And then shall there be, or is it expedient there should be, a stop to the shedding of blood? Then shall the law of Moses be fulfilled. Yea, it shall be fulfilled, every jot and tittle, and none shall have passed away. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth about means unto man, that they may have faith unto repentance. We see this atonement for the sins of man only applies to those that believe in Christ. Believe in him and follow him. Follow after his commandments. And it says in verse 2:16 that they may have faith unto repentance. Repentance of our sins is required of us for this atonement to apply unto us. Christ gave us that new law. The new law that we must follow. It came here for a purpose. It came to establish his church, to give us the commandments that we are to follow, and to atone for our sins through that death on the cross. What a wonderful and loving Savior we have. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. As we read here about his birth, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the very Son of God. A miraculous birth, born of a virgin. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a wonderful story this is of the birth of Christ. How he came down from the kingdom of heaven, suffered in this life, suffered sickness like we do, trials and tribulations, because he loved us so much, had that pure love for each one of us. In John chapter 15 and verses 12 and 13, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Christ has that perfect love for each one of us. Each one of us. You know, many people in the world don't believe that anymore. You know, something terrible happens and, you know, they blame God and God doesn't love us. Those statements are always false. He has that pure love for each one of us. And he's telling us that we are to love one another as he has loved us. We are to have that same love for our fellow man and for Jesus Christ. And he talks here that greater love hath no man, the one that will lay down his life for his friends. Christ set that example. That's what he was willing to do. Lay down his life for his friends. Even though he was not guilty. Not guilty of any crime. He was crucified on that cross. Crucified for our sins. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi chapter 7. Verses 5 and 6. It's on page 643. "Behold, I say unto you that the law is fulfilled that was given unto Moses. Behold, I am he that gave the law, and I am he which covenanted with my people Israel. Therefore, the law in me is fulfilled. For I have come to fulfill the law, therefore it hath an end." We see that Jesus Christ was the one that gave the law of Moses to the house of Israel. He covenanted with the people. He covenanted with Abraham. He covenanted with the house of Israel. But now, with Jesus Christ, there is a new law. No more sacrifices. He was that last and great sacrifice. But we have the law of Jesus Christ that we are required to follow if we want to obtain that eternal life. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. "For behold, the covenant which I have made with my people is not fulfilled, but the law which was given unto Moses hath an end." The law of Moses has an end, but that covenant still applies. Christ made that covenant with the house of Israel. And all those that will follow after him, that is for all time, those that believe and follow after his commandments. "Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. Behold, I have given unto you the commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments." A requirement for us. If we want to obtain that eternal life, we are to keep his commandments. And we are to endure to the end. We can never waver. Never fall away. If we fall away, our souls will be lost. Need to continually follow after Jesus Christ. Follow after his teachings. Continually look to ways that we can grow stronger spiritually. So we'll be able to withstand the trials and tribulations of this life. So here we are today. in the year 2012. Each one of us has been placed here at this time, in this place, for a purpose. You know, we've talked about this before. I could have been placed in Kenya. I could have been in Nigeria. I could have been in India. I could have been placed in one of those places 1,000 years ago. But we were not. Each one of us was placed here at this time for a purpose. And each one of us has a purpose. And I hope we believe that. Because if we don't, we're not truly putting our faith in Jesus Christ. He has a purpose for us. Through Christ, that law of Moses was fulfilled. But Christ gave us that new law. That new law that we must follow if we want to obtain salvation. He gave that law some 2,000 years ago. And that's one thing that many in the world today do. They say that does no longer apply to us. These things are done away with. We don't need baptism. We don't have prophecy. We don't need works. False teachings. False teachings that lead away the souls of mankind. Everything that Christ taught, that example he gave to us, they all apply to us today in the year 2012. And they will apply for the rest of our lives. You know, when Christ walked on earth, he had many followers. But many followed him because of the miracles. They came for the miracles. But he only had a few that were truly converted to his law. And we know the scriptures tell us that the numbers will be few. Numbers will be few. The numbers were few then. The numbers are few today. The numbers will always be few. But there will come a time in the near future when we will see more converted to the doctrine of Christ. The scriptures tell us have taken this to the house of Israel, and they will believe. But we must remember that there will only be a few. There will only be a few. True believers. You know, we must truly be converted to Christ's law. Truly converted to it. And if we're not truly and completely converted to Christ's law, our souls are in danger. They're in grave danger. Because if we're not converted, and this is not, Christ's doctrine is not the main focus in our life. If it's not our life, it needs to take over our life. The most important thing. If we're not to that point, our souls are in danger. Because Satan can come in and lead us away. Because if we are not completely converted, there will be doubts in our mind. There will be doubts. And when we have doubts, that's an opening for Satan. And he will work on those doubts. And you know, we don't like to talk about it. But we have seen many led away. Many members of the Church of Christ have been led away. Many from this congregation are no longer with us. Why are they no longer with us? Because they were not truly converted. They were not completely converted to Jesus Christ. To have that complete understanding that this is the only way to obtain salvation. And that if we turn our back on this and fall away, that our souls will be lost. They did not have that understanding. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye shall be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here again we see this word converted. And become as little children. We know the reference here is humility. Humility. We must be humble, not lifted up in pride. We must be willing to do whatever the Lord asks us to do. In Alma chapter 14, verse 11. Yea, I say unto you, as the Lord liveth, as many of the Lamanites as believed in their preaching and were converted unto the Lord, never did fall away, for they became a righteous people. An example of a group of people that were completely converted, and they never fell away. We have to think in our minds, you know, am I truly converted? Am I completely converted to Jesus Christ? And if you are, you'll never fall away. There will be no doubts in your mind. You will know what you need to do to obtain that salvation. Oh, yes, we may commit sins. The scriptures tell us. But all have sinned. We may yield to temptation and sin. But when we do that, we will be sorrowful. We will repent of those sins and come back into the presence of the Lord. Because we know that is what is required. That is what we must do to obtain salvation. You know, this pulpit that I am standing behind, it used to be a tree. And I might add that this is the nicest pulpit that I've ever preached behind. And I've preached behind lots of them. This is the nicest one. It has so much room. But this used to be a tree. And some lumberjack cut down that tree. And he made boards. He made solid boards. And they made plywood. And our brother Brian took those boards and that plywood and used his power tools and his skills and turned this into a pulpit that we can use to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, it's impossible for this pulpit to go back to a tree, isn't it? It will never go back to a tree. This pulpit is completely converted from a tree to a pulpit. That's how we must be in our spiritual lives. We must be so converted to Jesus Christ that we would never go back to the world. Never go back. Because we understand. We understand what is required. In 4 Nephi chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. What a wonderful thing that must have been. To think that there was, they had taken sin out of their lives. They had that pure love of Christ. Could not have been a happier people. And you know, these people had trials and tribulations just like we do. They got sick just like we do. They had problems. But they endured those things. And they remained faithful. And God blessed them. God blessed them in their lives. But they are an example of a group of people that were truly converted to Jesus Christ. Something that we need to look into our lives and answer that question. Are we truly converted? Is Jesus Christ the most important things in our life? If not, we're in danger of falling away. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For after their lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that they turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I think we are at this time in the world. We are seeing this. We are seeing this. You know, it's funny. It always amazes me how people will believe a lie. How somebody can come up with the craziest thing you've ever heard of, and he has people follow him. Have people following him. Some people, they follow him to where they even kill themselves because they followed this lie. They'll follow a lie, but not the truth. Not the truth of Jesus Christ. They put it down. Having itching ears, turn unto these fables. Not converted. They put their own desires above Christ's doctrine. You know, sometimes people wonder why there's terrible crimes committed against mankind. We have seen it all through time. All through time. Began with Cain and Abel. And it continues today. Through the Holocaust, the Inquisition. And there is so much sin today. But the reasons for these things is because the people don't have Christ in their lives. They don't have someone to look unto. Instead, they look unto these fables. and the things that pop into their head that sound good to man. They're not putting Christ first. Not putting this Jesus Christ first and His commandments. This Christ, whose birthday we are celebrating. And we're celebrating it because we understand and know the value of Him. That He is our only hope for salvation. And the world has set aside December 25th to celebrate the birth of Christ. And for us, we're here to honor Him, to show our love, to thank Him for the blessings that He has given unto us. Everything we have is a gift from Him. The very breath of life is a gift from Him. You know, this time of year, so many people are, their focus is on gifts and possessions and things that they want for Christmas and all these things. But they don't realize that really nothing on this world belongs to us. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to Christ. We have these things for this time to use. But everything belongs to our Lord. And all these gifts that are purchased at Christmas time. So what gift can we give Christ? What gift can we give Him? You know, a gift is simply something that is given. That's the definition of a gift. It can be anything. Anything that's given. For us, we cannot give Christ a physical gift. But we can give Him our love. We can give Him our devotion. We can give Him our service. Those are the gifts that we can give unto Him. Those spiritual gifts. Build up those treasures in heaven. Have those good works in our life. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." That'd be a wonderful gift, wouldn't it, for Christ? To keep His commandments. That's how we show our love for Him. And I know it pleases Him when we keep His commandments. A wonderful gift to Him. A gift that He cherishes. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A living sacrifice. Dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ. Everything we do, we should have Him in mind. Whatever we do should glorify the name of Christ. willing to sacrifice the things of this world. It says, which is our reasonable service. You know, I'm sure so many in the world would think, you know, that's way too much, you know, to dedicate my life to Christ and not be able to do these things in the world. That's too much of a sacrifice. I could never do that. But he's telling us here that that is our reasonable sacrifice. It's not too much. It is what is required. You know, Christ has great promises for those that serve him. In John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace can only come through Jesus Christ. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. You know, there's people that cry out for world peace. World peace. There will not be world peace. Not until Christ returns, there will not be world peace. We can pray for world peace, but it will not happen because of the natural man. But even in a world that does not have peace, we can have peace in our hearts through Jesus Christ. He can give us that peace no matter what is happening in our life, no matter what kind of trials and tribulations and struggles we have. We can have that peace. It comes from Him, a gift from Him. He's given us many gifts. Many gifts. He's so merciful unto us. So merciful to all mankind. So we come here at this Christmas time to celebrate His birth. But we must celebrate Jesus Christ every day in our lives, to follow Him, to serve Him, to look for those gifts that we can give unto Him. What can we do for the Lord? And if we are willing to do that, willing to be truly converted and to serve Him all the days of our life, we will someday have that eternal life. I thank you for your time.